And this heart mind, this inner space, this place, is a doorway into all the rest of who you are, other than who you think you are. Because the mind thinks it's somebody. I mean, give it that. When you were born, you obviously came undifferentiated. You know, you didn't say, well, here I go, I'm being born. I mean, you did, but you didn't. You understand? There was no I at that point. But then you went into somebody training. Because your parents knew you were somebody. I mean, they knew they were somebody, so they obviously had to train you to be somebody, because somebodies can't train nobodies. Which is interesting. They try, but they can't. It's like religion. It's like the priests in religion trying to train you in nobodiness. I'm the priest, now listen to me. Wavy Gravy is a member of the board of Seva and a very deep, wise human being. And for the past two elections, as you many of you know, Wavy, he did it on the side of a big bus. He's run nobody for president. It's got great slogans like, nobody can solve our economic problems. One of his best ones is, nobody cares. And he pointed out that nobody received more votes than all the rest of the candidates put together in the last election. Well, let's take it step by step. You go into somebody training and you become somebody, and you preen it and train it and collect it and define it, and you have ego and ego structures and phenomenal fields and all that stuff, and you're somebody. And you compare yourself to other somebodies, and you're more somebody or less than everybody else on this dimension or that. That's the world of somebody. And you're definitely somebody. The predicament is that for you and I, something has happened that has screwed up that as being the only reality. We've seen behind what Rilke calls just beyond the billboard at the edge of town. We've seen too much. We saw that our somebodyness and the whole reality that that represented was just another one. For me, that happened in the 60s. There was an awakening to the realization that I wasn't who I thought I was. That I had been had by my culture. Well-meaning, I mean, that's the scariest part. So at first, when you realize that you've been for 30 years standing sort of in the wrong place, and you really just scrunched yourself into this like prison. See, that's an interesting moment. Gurdjieff, the Russian philosopher, says you have to realize that in order to escape from prison, the first thing you must realize is that you're in prison. If you think you're free, no escape is possible. See, because you don't yet see it's a prison. But that any definition of yourself is a container. Well, at first, when I felt that, I felt like I'm really sick to feel that. Everybody else seems to be happy in their containers. Yeah. So I went to a therapist. Who helped me reorganize the furniture in the prison cell. Because a therapist thinks they're a therapist. And somebody can help you escape. Nobody can help you escape. Such wisdom tonight. So then I figured, well, that isn't the route. And all the maps of how to escape, they send you maps like the Bhagavad Gita, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, or, you know, there are maps, lots of maps. And you start to read the maps and follow them and do the practices and all that sort of thing. But because I had felt so trapped by the world I had lived in, I developed a grudge against it. And I became much more of a renunciate. In a way, I was pushing away the physical, psychological plane because it had trapped me. And I was going to escape from it by, quote, getting high. I was going to push it away and get out, which I did by thousands of different techniques. But there was something wrong in that. There was something unstable in it. Partly because I was like a horny celibate. I was busy not having desires, like, you know, non-smokers. I haven't smoked in 2 years, 3 months, 2 days, and 22 minutes. Those are the people that die of not smoking. And all the seeds of whatever my incarnation was about were just sort of waiting to sprout the minute there was a little water. And I finally realized at some point that the game was not to get high, but to be free, and that there was really nowhere to stand. And if I stood anywhere, I was just going to contain myself, and then I was going to be imprisoned again. And I had to turn around and look at everything that was an attachment and an aversion, and then start to let go. So I would stand nowhere. My spook friend Emmanuel helped me a lot. Emmanuel is a disembodied being that speaks through a woman named Pat Rodegast. Probably that awakens some prejudice in some of you. You know, you say, well, I'm not a prejudiced person. I mean, your race and color and age don't make any difference, but you have to have a body. I don't have that prejudice, and he's a great friend. It's great to have somebody that died, because you can ask him all kinds of wonderful questions. So I said to him, Emmanuel, what'll I tell people about dying? Because they all want to know. He said, Ram Dass, tell them that death is absolutely safe. That's a superb one-liner, by the way. He said, it's like taking off a tight shoe. So I said to Emmanuel, what am I doing here? Who made this error? You know, like, I look around and everybody's got the Buddhist five hindrances. Everybody's got sloth and greed and lust and hatred and ill will and agitation and doubt. I mean, what am I doing among these beings? And Emmanuel then said a very wise thing. He said, Ram Dass, you're in school. Why don't you try taking the curriculum? Try being human. Extraordinary. I mean, I'd never thought of that. I mean, if something's burned you, you don't go back and stick your hand in the fire. Or do you? See, finally, fire is your purification. That's what happens. To go into water, which is all wonderful and pleasant, is fine. That's like hanging on to what you got, but to play with the edge of where you aren't because you want to be free, that's fire. It's playing with fire. And for me, my fire was my humanity. How close could I get to be really human? How passionate can a non-attached being be? Can you be fully in the world and fully not in the world at the same time? Does passion require attachment?